Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey.
Welcome to the podcast, Jed from Church and Other Drugs. How long has your podcast been going? Since 2016?
Yeah, I think so. I was thinking about that the other day, and I was like, yeah, it's been, I guess in January, it'll be 4 years. It's a long time.
Yeah, so congratulations, because the average podcast only lasts 4 episodes, and you've crushed the competition.
Is that the official 4 episodes?
I've read it's like 3 or 4 episodes.
Yeah,
because once people start realizing how much work it is to podcast, they just throw in the towel.
I remember being super insulted early on. We asked a guest on, I think, or they asked us on their show, and they were like, this was when we were under, it was like episode 8 or something, and they're like, we typically don't invite or promote podcasts with less than 10 episodes, because you're probably not going to keep going. And I was just like, okay, guy, thanks. That podcast has since has ceased production, and we're still going. So
yeah, and there you go.
In your face.
Exactly, right? I mean, in some senses, I get it. You know, coming from the band scene, you get hit up a lot of times from various people. And sometimes, like, I'm emailing guests, and you just get the auto reply. Hey, I get a lot of email. Don't know if I'll reply. And I just love that stuff, because it's hard. It's hard to filter. You're trying to sell yourself. You're trying to get your podcast growing. You're trying to get guests on your show. And it's this big, like, dance of, okay, are you big enough for me to come on to your show? Okay, I will come. I will grace myself.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Know?
Speaking of which, I got to get out of the way, because I'm a little starstruck. So, Luke, if I'm correct, you are Kenny Rogers' brother?
Yeah, you know, that's a painful memory. He passed away last year.
Have you all ever eaten at a Kenny Rogers grill?
I haven't, but old Uncle Kenny, you know, he just forgot to put the D in his name, so.
Yep.
We forgive him now, post-mortem.
That's my awful joke that I thought of on the drive, and I was like, it's going to kill.
Yeah, there's Rogers, and then there's Rodgers.
Rodgers.
Right. I think we're probably all related way back up there somewhere, just, you know, my side of the family tree, we keep the D in our name, so. There's a joke in there somewhere.
We're like my one of my family names is Winchester, and apparently the story goes, because I was like, so like the rifles, and apparently the story was like when they got here from England and South Carolina, rifle people went north and got rich, and my family stayed in South Carolina and got dirt poor. So I was like, all right, cool.
Well, your family has a pretty good mystery house out there in San Jose.
Yeah. I'm disappointed that movie turned out to be awful, because that's a really cool, true history weirdness.
It's super weird. I've been there a couple times.
Your last name's Payne, not
P-A-I.
My
dad was Major Payne in the Air Force.
Major Payne.
Yeah.
Yes, the movie references here are awesome. This episode is already off.
But this is what I was talking to Luke about, how like it's so much more fun to bring on podcasters on your episodes, because, and I think that's just what you see with a lot of people these days. They're just too lazy to go get guests, because it's hard to interview people who are experts or write books all day long and don't podcast. It's a little more like, you know, you get on and you have to sort of, you know, wow people with this information. It's easier just to chat with your buddies and have a combo.
And I've gotten some authors that, like, I love their books, I love their blogs, and they turn out to be the most boring people on the planet. Or some, like, lead singers of bands, you know, just falling for that classic fallacy that, like, oh, you make this cool art, therefore you're probably a really cool conversationalist. And, like, nope, you know. And halfway through, it's just, like, dragging every single word out of them, or some people do not have good conversations.
I don't want to insult our future guests, so I should probably shut up a little bit. But we, so your podcast, you get a little conspiratorial, I could say, even though I hate that word. I want to start using the word alternate. Alt history, alt science. It's just alt. It's just a different road. But can you talk a little bit about your show and like the weirder topics you guys get into? Maybe we can get into some crypto conversations about creatures.
So our other podcasts also, like, you start out with a show and what you think it's going to be about, and it absolutely morphs into a different beast, right? So we started out, it was me and my buddy.
A shapeshifter,
a skinwalker, if you will. So it started out, me and my buddy John, we used to get high together in high school, and then both of us grew up to be alcoholics and drug addicts. He ended up getting sober first and then helped me get sober. I'm an addictions counselor, and we're, you know, both Christians, right? And so we found ourselves in this space where we would go to meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous and be like, huh, church should be more like this. And then we'd go to church and be like, huh, church should be more like Alcoholics Anonymous. And so we kind of were trying to create a space in the middle of that to kind of learn from each other. And then through my journeys of, you know, the lands of addiction and recovery, I've met tons of really awesome people with just crazy stories. Like, my favorite stories are from just random people, unassuming people that have been through extraordinary stuff, right? So started telling their stories, and I guess the conspiratorial stuff, you know, I've always the alt history stuff, and this is immediately going to take credibility away from everything I say, but it's pretty hand in hand with the drug culture, right? You know, the man's out to get me, you know, sitting around smoking weed, talking about the government, like listening to my thoughts and stuff, right? So maybe that's kind of where the interest came from. Or, you know, I've always been, as a kid, I was always interested in fantasy and imagination and thinking there is, like, questioning the status quo and believing that there's more to the story and not really buying what's fed to the general public, that sort of thing. So I definitely will admit that I have that personality type that wants there to be something bigger. But as I've grown up, I really want to be the person that is rational about it. That's why, yeah, conspiracy is a very loaded word now. And I've gone on a bunch of shows because somewhere along the way I became like the Nephilim guy on a few shows. And my whole thing is that it's not just made up out of nowhere. It's got actual history and culture. You know, this is what a lot of ancient Jewish people believe. This is like a lot of ancient cultures believed, you know, the whole concept of myth and Joseph Campbell stuff. And I think all the cultures around the world are essentially telling the same story, and I don't think it was just made up. I guess that could be like my starting point. So I want to present these sort of things in a like rational way, because I hate how it's so easily dismissed as, oh, you're just crazy. And it's like, well, no, it's not. Like, I've actually looked into it from like reviewed sources or whatever you need to verify what I'm talking about, right? I'm not just pulling this out of a hat and throwing anything at the wall and everything sticks sort of thing. Like, I actually think about these things critically. I just happen to believe that some of them are actually true.
Yeah, I think what Luke and I are running into right away is that, I mean, half of this podcast is sort of like in the realm of psychology and science and just the thoughts around belief, logic. What's the difference between faith and facts and data and sciences? It's, you know, because people right away, that's where their brain goes, like that we're making stuff up, or people have convinced themselves they've seen these creatures and it's all in their head. And
or more simply, just that you're stupid.
Yeah,
right. You're ignorant, right? You're ignorant, or you're less educated.
Less educated.
That's the way that academia likes to talk down to ideas that don't fit the narrative, right? It's to shame them. It's to lower the academic boom on people and tell them they're less than, they don't add up, they haven't had enough schooling, which really in some ways means you haven't been indoctrinated enough into their narrative,
right,
to close your mind to anything else being a possibility of being true.
Right.
That's the way I see it.
And it's at least I can, I'm self-aware enough to acknowledge my own biases and like I'm willing to be wrong, right? It seems like there is less of that sort of leniency or forgiveness from people on the opposing side, where it's just completely, except for, interestingly, the scientifically minded community loves to wax poetic about aliens. And that's what I don't get. Like, why is that the one thing that you're like, oh yeah, totally. In fact, it's scientifically impossible that there's not aliens. It's like, okay, we're really just getting into semantics there. Like, how is that any different than like the spiritual realm or interdimensional beings, right? Like, we're all kind of talking about the same thing, but that's your like socially acceptable thing you can talk about?
Yeah, there are certain things that are on the table. Like, we've seen in the last couple of years, like, there's certain conspiracy theories that are fine. Like, pushing this whole Russian election conspiracy theory was totally fine with the mass media. But then anything else, you know, like, can't talk about this pharma drug conspiracy because that couldn't happen. But Russia colluding with our election, totally possible. But none of these other things. And we've all, I think everyone here is, we've all been to college. I got a bachelor's. I think, Luke, you got a master's.
I do. I went to college twice.
Where are you at on the education scale there, Jed?
I'm trying to get my GED, so thanks for bringing that up, Nate. I'm just kidding.
Hey, we believe in you.
I'm going for my master's in social work, and I'm actually, I'll be testing on Tuesday for my addiction counselor licensure for the state of Louisiana. So, big things, man.
My point in all that was to say we've been through the system on, you know, we've gone through... Right. The educational, the college system. We know how they teach you to think, right? Every once in a while, you'll get a professor who will throw wrenches into the way you've been taught to think. And those are my favorite classes in college, where they just walk in and they're like, forget everything you know, and I'm about to floor you. And
I've got tenure, so there's no way I can get fired.
Yeah. But hey, let's talk about that, the concept of tenure. Like I said this to a lot of people. Some of these guys in academia, I don't think they'll get into the Bigfoot thing until they have tenure. Because if they talk about it before then, they'll probably get fired. And once your job is secure, then you're actually free to pursue the data without getting fired, right? Isn't that the concept of tenure? Is as a professor, your job is to do research, right?
I mean, it depends. Yeah. Yeah, typically. But it's, I think it's more simply just goes back to money and grant money and what's, you know, because this
is the whole projecting your job.
Not necessarily. It's more like, and this is what I've run into, because a common pushback on this sort of thing is, you know, if giant skeletons, if Bigfoot, if whatever, any kind of paranormal cryptozoology subject, if that's real, then why are there not expeditions? Why are there not digs? And it's very simply, there's no money in it. So like you can't, it's people, I don't know how people think, you know, these archaeological expeditions get funded, but there's not just like some Bigfoot hunting fund somewhere. You got to like go present this to get grants, and you're not going to make any money of that. There is no financial incentive to go do that, right? So it's just not going to happen.
If you come out of the woods with a Bigfoot, dead or alive, there's probably some money in that.
Sure.
But I think the likelihood that happens based on our current recorded history isn't great. No, I get that. It's I think we all kind of buy into this Indiana Jones thing where, you know, you just go out and go find things, yeah, and you end up in these, you know, and it's the Nazis are funding the other side and you're just competing against them, right? Well,
right.
Yeah.
That isn't really how it works.
No.
And unfortunately in these situations, I feel like you follow the money. Like anything else, you follow the money and you need to find the truth, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I think, Nate, there's something that's interesting about tenure, being in a place where you don't worry about what you put out there as opposed to your job security. And I think also in some ways that's why we see academia where it is today, too, is that people are coming out with radical other ideas, not in our space, not in the creatures or crypto space at all. But I don't know. You just see a lot of, I think you just take a look, and if you took a random look at and pervades society where it is today, I think we're finding out there's a lot of people that are teaching and indoctrinating our young people in college with ideas that aren't necessarily helping what's going on in society today. So, yeah, I think that's what I see it for both sides. I would love to just talk a little more about the Nephilim, just because I know that's something we talked a little bit about, Nate. And since we have the sort of the circuit expert hearing Jed.
Yeah, the de facto Nephilim guy.
Right, yeah.
Jed's the defender of the Nephilim, you know, like you got to have somebody out there that's going to like defend it. Like, hey, it's in the Bible. It's just in there. Like, I don't even care if you believe it. Some people, they almost want it not even to be in there, right?
Yes. And that's really my whole general point, is that we can even dismiss, like, we can let go of this is true or false. But what I'm just saying is, this is what it says. Like, this is what they believe. This is what it says. Like,
and it's not a metaphor. It's not giants.
It's not a metaphor.
It's not a giant in your life.
No, no.
A giant wall of opposition.
Right. It's not your ego or the collective id or like whatever. It's like, no, this is what they meant when they wrote it. And that's really my whole big thing. Like, they call this kind of the conspiracy theory that connects all other conspiracy theories,
like the Codicus, the
Codex?
Index, the Codex. That's what
there
I'm thinking
go,
of.
The Codex.
Or Pandora's Box, if you want to, go that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, sure.
Too.
And which is also probably Nephilim, you know, Greek myth is heavily Nephilim based, really. This is the kind of thing where, so when I first got into it, I went full bore into it, and I latched on to, there's kind of two camps where some people, the modern conspiracy theorists about the Nephilim, believe that they are still active in the world today. The bloodlines are the ones responsible for the Illuminati, the New World Order, that sort of thing. That's who's behind everything. That's kind of their game. I've pretty much let go of that. The more I just went into, okay, what does like the biblical and extra biblical text say? And they don't really have an indication of that. It could be. I'm just not ready to like die on that hill. But so the basic premise, and a lot of this is coming from Enoch and the Book of Jubilees and the Book of the Giants and the Book of the Watchers, right? Which are these extra biblical texts that are quoted in the Bible, in the Hebrew text, in the Greek, many, many times. Peter references them, Jude references them. There's lots of literary callbacks.
I read Paul talks about them too a lot. I mean, obviously.
Yes, Paul, I'll give an example of that. But all that to say, they were important enough to the original biblical writers that while you can't officially say that they are also inspired word of God, if you subscribe to that, but the writers certainly believed that they were true or whatever. They were going off of this history, right? So in the Book of Enoch and the Book of the Giants and the Book of the Watchers, Enoch kind of describes the state of like Eden and Adam in the fall and all that. And so there were, this is also where it's just so many common misconceptions, right? Like the whole angel thing. Angels are just a position in the heavenly court. Those are the messengers. You have the archangels, seraphim, cherubs, many different classes. Satan literally just means accuser. That was like
heaven high school.
Yeah, there we go. Satan was the angsty teenager.
Satan was the dropout punk wearing the leather jacket, couldn't get the girl, and he was just pissed, right? Is that what you're talking about?
I guess so. I have a sitcom idea in my head now.
It's like it's like a bad Fonzie.
We'll go with Fonzie. That would actually be a pretty good depiction of Satan.
Hey,
hey, going to hell. Hey.
But yeah, there is this true thing that like Christians, you know, it's funny. Christians are the most closed-minded of all these people. You're like, look, there's an entourage that God is describing here in the Bible. It's not just, oh yeah, there's one being and his son cruises down, hangs out and takes off. There's this history. I mean, even just the temptation of Christ, it says that the devil takes Jesus and shows him around. Like they're like almost like they're traveling in time and going to locations and seeing the city and going from the hilltops. He's there and he's taking him places.
It goes deeper than that because it's like all of the seemingly weird and random parts of scripture finally makes sense when you understand this narrative, right? So in that, I mean, I'm skipping ahead, but in that particular thing, so Satan taking Jesus around and saying, I can give all this to you, was because literally at that time, Yahweh had divided up different geographical regions to different Elohim, lowercase g gods, right? So there were literally different parts of the world were governed by lowercase g gods, and Yahweh took for himself the Jews, right? So when Jesus came back, that was literally God taking back everything, saying, okay, all that is done. I'm taking everyone back, so everyone's going to be my people again. So when Satan was showing him around, he was saying, I can give all this to you because currently it is mine to give, right?
So he dropped out of Taking Back Sunday in Heaven High School.
Oh, Adam Lazara, Satan himself. So let me back up to try to way back when, whenever the time was. So there were the first humans on Earth, right? And there were this group of Elohim called the Watchers, right? And like their namesake, they were watching humanity. And so Sam Yizel, the pronunciations are weird, but all of their names end in L, which like Michael, Gabriel, Raphael. It means God or Shining One. I can't remember. I'm getting that wrong. So Sam Yizel, the leader of the Watchers, gets 200 of his Watcher buddies together because it says that they looked down and they saw the women of Earth were beautiful to them. And so he gets them together and says, hey, let's go down there and get nasty with them. And they're like, okay, we'll do this, but you know what's going to happen if we do. And so they're like, all right, well, let's make a pact that we go down together. So they all made an agreement. They came down, and that's when Enoch lists 12 of them that taught mankind specific things. Okay, so this is where, if you're familiar with Prometheus and the fire myth, right? So, and they name each watcher and what they specifically taught. So they taught women the adornment of the eyes and how to make jewelry and how to appear beautiful. They taught men metallurgy and how to make swords. One of them taught men how to wage war. They taught them the reading of the stars and astrology, taught them herbology and divination, pharmakia, which is just, it's kind of synonymous with like sorcery, drugs, basically how to, which is always interesting to me because I've always thought, you know, and I never buy the typical evolutionary, like, because did you ever think, like, how did the first human know to smoke weed? Like, of the trillions of plant species. And so smoking something in general is very, if you're sitting around a fire.
That's such a high thought, though. Like,
well, no, I mean, but.
To be like, dude, how did the first guy ever think to do this, right?
Well, for real, or to chew a coca leaf, or to right. any of the medicines we get from plants, of all the plants, like, they all take preparation. So basically, the prevailing theory is that through millions of years of just straight trial and error, man just figured out that if you take this plant, cure it, dry it, smoke it, which if you're sitting around a fire, you inhale smoke, you're going to cough it out, that you're not going to be like, oh yeah, let me do this.
Are you saying that,
purpose,
like,
right?
it takes earlier knowledge to understand how to prep, cut, dry, do these things? We had to have got it from somewhere. We couldn't have just, you know what I mean? How to build this stuff, how to do all these things. And to go back to what you were saying, I had a thought real quick. What you were describing, these watchers coming down, this is, I've been told, heard several podcasts say, this is why women wear head coverings to this day.
It is. So, and that's what Paul talks about. So
they cover their
Paul,
heads to keep themselves from tempting these beings. That's the weird thing, right?
And I'm jumping ahead too. So this is the ignorance of people. They're like, Paul was just a sexist, right? So when Paul says, just like long hair is the shame of men, but the glory of women, cover your heads so that you don't tempt the angels, right? So according to medical theory of the time, this is serious, semen was stored in the hair. And so with men, if you had long hair, that means you're building up your semen, so it's shameful, right? So with women, that's a good thing to have long hair. And so when he was telling them to cover their hair, he literally meant cover your testicles or your genitals so that you don't tempt the angels, referring back to what he thought was true, which was this original transgression. So it was like a literal warning, like, hey, don't be tempting these angels, these watchers.
You know, I've heard weird stories about this. I've heard stories when Native Americans cut their hair, they lost battles, that there was some sort of weird power, or I mean Samson, story of Samson cuts his hair. Yeah. Like, there's some weird stuff going on with the hair. And this is the thing, the Bible's full of this weird stuff, and people just go, ah, you're crazy. It's almost like we have this modern logic that we throw on everything. You can't read like 70% of the Bible in a modern lens, really.
Well, it's really insulting and assuming that all of our ancestors were just complete dumbasses. And it's just like, no, they weren't.
Right.
So with the knowledge thing, this is actually where secret societies came from. So Edemic sciences, or the seven sacred sciences, right? And have you ever heard of mystery schools?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the ancient schools of mystery.
The Babylonian mystery schools, yeah.
So they were set up to teach these, to continue to teach these mysteries, right? When those schools disbanded, secret societies formed around those knowledges, formed around those teachings. And so they're a continuation of mystery schools. So all of these things are based on those original taught divine mysteries, right? And the teaching thing, if you ask indigenous cultures, like when they, you know, Mayans and the great megaliths of ancient civilizations, across the board, they all say, we were told how to do these things. Like, we got instructions from the gods. We got instructions from these beings. So everyone's telling the same story, that at some point we were told how to do this, right? And demon stole my train of thought.
Yeah, he did.
No, but this actually goes really well with what we talked with Brian about, right? The idea that there was all this knowledge that pre-existed dynastic Egypt, dynastic, you know, the Incan dynasties, the Mayan dynasties. There's that everything that was built before, there was a knowledge and technology that pre-existed, and the building after a certain point, which we would probably, and Brian Forster talks about being this series of cataclysms, whatever happened, it erased a lot of that knowledge, right? So then when they're building onto these, the construction is worse, and we should see things linearly get better, not worse. And that, I think, really behooves this whole argument that there was this divine knowledge, maybe it's divine in the small d, right?
Yeah.
Divine knowledge that was passed down or taught to, you know, our ancestors or our original ancestors way back when. But I think the whole thing is interesting to me in the sense also that you read the Bible in a way that also talks about how bloodlines are so important, right? And that,
yes,
that's a huge thing because of what happened with the Watchers coming down.
It's huge. It's the whole story. And so even with royalty, have you ever thought of what gave the very first kings and queens the right to say, I'm a king or queen? Originally, you had to prove divine blood, right? So trace back, they would claim that, or maybe they were, that like, I have this God blood in me, therefore I am king. Why wouldn't someone else just be like, nah, I'm going to be king? Like, why all of a sudden would someone just have this lay of claim to say that I am a ruler?
Well, we've even talked about with Brian, he thinks that, and we kind of discussed how they used to just try to shape their heads to look like the gods because they had bigger heads, they had elongated skulls, and he's trying to prove that. Our other guest talks about these elongated skulls getting dug up in North America, and so these creatures. So kind of what I want to talk about, the creature side of this, because we're trying to keep it in the creature realm. The Nephilim are different than the Watchers.
Right, and I'll circle back to that.
All right,
I'll finish. No, I'm sorry. I keep following rabbit trails, but I'll finish the original narrative.
This is good, quickly. This is good.
The Watchers came down, mated with women. They produced the Nephilim, which the Nephilim are the offspring of the.
So are the Watchers still around?
Yes.
Are they or do they take off?
No, the Watchers are still around. Okay, but Yahweh sends Gabriel, one of the archangels, to bind all the Watchers and hold them in chains under the earth. So that is where, that's what people
believe.
In the abyss. That's what people believe Peter said when Jesus went and preached to the spirits chained up. That was where basically Jesus was going down there and saying, hey, I won. Sorry. And so another interesting anecdote. So they were believed to be tortured by the flames under the earth. And so Jewish men were forbidden from using thermal pools, thermal hot tubs, because they believed they were heated from the flames that were torturing the watchers. There's just a ton of little small things that it's like these people believed this stuff. So the watchers are down there in chains. They plead to Enoch, hey, please intercede between us and Yahweh. We want to try to make peace. God tells them, there is no peace. You're done for. So what happened on the earth was the Nephilim completely decimate, completely pollute the earth. That's when they say they sinned against man and beast. So that's where they believe they started making hybrid chimeras and different creatures and sin. You know, basically all of creation was corrupted by this blood and this. There were cannibals. That's where fee-fi-fo-fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. That's where the whole... There's so many things that people know that rhyme, but if you think about it, that's talking about giants eating men, right? They ate each other, so that's where the original Levitical laws against eating animals with the blood still in it and was all forbidden because it was what they did, right? They were bloodthirsty. So God commands Gabriel to go down there and, quote, whisper in their ear and cause them to wage war on each other and murder each other. So, though,
wait, the giants or the watchers?
The giants. The watchers' punishment was they had to watch as their children all killed each other. And so the watchers made one last plea to God and said, which is interesting, this is where it gets theological, but basically says, if you want me to be able to complete my job, you have to leave me like assistance. So God, Yahweh, allowed a quarter of the spirits of the Nephilim to remain on earth.
Those are considered demons, right?
Yeah, that's demons. Not fallen angels, not Satan.
So what is their job? What's the job they got to stay and do? Exactly.
That kind of, it's like, that's where I'm fudging it, but essentially it's like,
you're putting together Middle Earth for us. And I think this is what I want to talk about to people. Like, this is, you're describing Middle Earth for the listeners.
Which is where Tolkien got it, by the way.
Where's First Church of the Nephilim? Because I want to go there. Come on, church. Like, this would be the best Sunday lesson ever if I could go listen to this stuff every Sunday and actually figure out. Like, Christians don't preach any of this stuff. It drives me insane. It's like the best stuff. I'm on the edge of my seat listening to this.
It's even the earliest example is the Epic of Gilgamesh, right? And that's what Genesis. So Genesis was written as a polemic, meaning it's the same story with key differences. So the Epic of Gilgamesh paints Gilgamesh, who is a Nephilim, as the hero. So Genesis takes the creation story that all the ancient world knew. So it'd be like, I remake Star Wars, but Luke Skywalker is the bad guy and Darth Vader's the good guy. And so it's like, everybody knows Star Wars, but this is what really happened. So it's like you think Gilgamesh was good. No, I'm telling you, they were bad.
It's almost like you had the show Ancient Aliens back in the day, and they were trying to convince people that these were good, right?
No, it's like that theory where if you've watched Karate Kid, and as Daniel is the bad guy, you can actually watch it like that, and it actually works, right? So you're taking the story and saying like, oh, the Cobra Kai were the good guys. And Daniel was the bad guy. He was the punk kid. He was always starting the fights. He was the villain.
Everything goes back to the 80s on this show, baby.
It has to.
So real quick. So my understanding of these giants were, because some say there's like 28 or 36 tribes of giants in the Bible. How many were there? I think there was like at least over 25. Are they just in different locations? Because that's where it gets complicated. Like, okay, if they came down and created this, some say there were just like seafaring giants, and there was mountain giants, and there was desert giants, and there was forest giants. Is that it? Is that kind of what? I mean, what are...
No, well, that's extrapolating a lot. Like, and this is where the Bible gets frustratingly vague. It's because the flood happens to cleanse the earth, right? Because it had been polluted by the Nephilim and everything. And all it says was the Nephilim were on the earth and then afterwards. So for however it happened, it says they were there after the flood too. And that is when apparently they started to do their thing again, and that was what's called the first incursion. The watchers mating with women. The second occurred at the Tower of Babel, right? So once again, the Earth started getting toxic, polluted, corrupted by the Nephilim. They build the Tower of Babel. That's when Yahweh comes down, puts a stop to it, divides up the people, and assigns each geographic location their own Elohim to rule over it. And then as it goes, those Elohim also got corrupted. And this to me lends credence to other, because I've always thought, you know, humans aren't dumb enough to believe in anything without actually receiving something from it. So if there are different cults, religions, magics, sorceries, whatever, what if there was actually a power behind it that they were worshiping? It wasn't something empty. It was an actual spiritual being that was giving them whatever, you know what I'm saying?
And I don't think they would just wander over and be like, well, I think these idols over here are cool after God's done all these things for them, you know what I mean? Right. Like, they're actually being tempted into another cult that has some sort of witchcraft or magical powers,
right?
And here's the thing, so you're talking about, so in a way, Lord of the Rings is the best analogy, because you have the ancient world, and then the hobbits are in this age of, like, the power wasn't ultimately destroyed, right? So that's kind of where we are right now. We're kind of like, we've been in the last 1,000 years, we've been like hobbits, just kind of living our life. The evil is still out there.
Well, so that is kind of like, so when Jesus came, that was part of what he did. It was a final assault on the spiritual remnants of that. And so when he came, and, you know, Dr. Heiser goes into detail about the exact locations that Jesus went to, preached at, where he did his miracles, and it was a literal geographic battle plan. And even the whole, like, the gates of hell, like where he did the transfiguration or whatever,
which is on Mount Hermon,
which is where the Watchers came down, right? Right. So it was very symbolic.
What is it? Caesarea Philippi, right? Right there where they actually had the physical gates of hell. They believed that was the portal.
Yeah, there's a cave, right? The cave is underground.
Yeah.
And so the common thing when people say the gates of hell will not withstand it, people would assume that, like, you know, that was hell attacking. But it's like, no, that was literally, like, gates imply a fortified position. So that's literally Jesus coming down and saying, like, I've destroyed your fortress. Like, I win. So it's over. So that is when the second incursion ended, right? Now, with what's going on in our modern times, that's where it's like, you know, I don't know. And that's where, you know, the Bible talks about Satan being bound for a time and loosed for a time, and, you know, who knows. And a lot of people harp on, just like in the days of Noah, so it will be in the end of days. And so people will latch on to, so yeah, that's why, like, you know, genetic experiments and bloodlines, and we're in the days of Noah again, therefore the world's about to end, that sort of thing.
Sold
on.
You talk to anybody who says you don't believe in this stuff, get out of America, and you start seeing some people who've had some serious possessions. My thought about the ring and the Mordor thing is that, like, there's still demons possessing people running around. So it's not like it's been tied up, but there's still not a bow on this. There's still not a bow on this story of humanity. And what we're trying to do with Bigfoot and creatures is to draw it back to the beginning. And do you think that these entities who came down, screwed up stuff, gave us weird plants, taught us how to mine metals, taught us how to kill each other, taught us all this other stuff, are they also resurrecting the weird dinosaurs that are eating flesh and other crazy werewolf dog features or creatures? And did they create the Bigfoot? Did they take a monkey and put, like, a half spiritual demon in that thing? And that's why you have all these weird supernatural stories to this day. Because that's my thing with a lot of these guys who think that they don't believe in any of the end times stuff in the Bible. They say, oh, it was all wrapped up, like the end times already happened. I'm saying, well, we have proof in Bigfoot that supernatural weird stuff is still happening today. That some people see, we brought a guy on, Duke, who said he still sees these mountain giants, literal giants of the Old Testament, still walking around in North America, coming out of the ground, like they've always been told to have done. So we have this weird modern day stories and echoes of the Old Testament. So it's like, okay, what we're trying to do on our podcast is, where did this stuff come from? And some people are like, I don't, you know, we've already read the trolls in the comment section saying, gosh, stop talking about the Bible. Like, we're, you know what I mean? It's like, you can't, if you want to know what Bigfoot is, you got to go to the Bible and go back to even the Epic of Gilgamesh, which is corroborates the Bible, right?
That's what I was going to say. You could go to throw a dart on the wall of any ancient text, really. And this is all, I mean, you have the Minotaur, you have Medusa, you have, you know, Chupacabra, you have the dragon, which is a cross-cultural myth. It's all the same. You have, I mean, these are all.
Yeah, I mean, you've got, yeah, and all the Norse stuff. You've got Beowulf and the demons that live and all that stuff exists across cultural boundaries, across cultural, yeah, anything you think of, it exists across the board, right?
Right.
And so there's something very human going on that all of us have a collective across the cultural boundaries, all have a collective myth and story of the same thing. Now that seems pretty unlikely, considering if you were just to look at the, you know, look at the world and say, hey, okay, how do all these different people who didn't interact with each other have the same stories? And it seems to be
right. It wouldn't come from anywhere. Like, it's like if you ask someone that was born blind, what does a dog look like? They're going to give you a drastically different description than someone that has seen a dog, right? So it came from somewhere. Everything we describe has a reference point, right? So, I mean, you could argue that it was just an exaggerated reference point or whatever. The Occam's razor, like, the simplest answer is like, or these people had encounters with this thing. And it's what's crazy to me, and I had this argument, was like, oh, people like, yeah, they used to think dragons exist. Like, there are dozens of dinosaur skeletons that exactly match the description of a dragon. And how do we know they didn't breathe fire? We have precedent in nature. There are beetles that can shoot 300-degree acid out of their ass. Like, this stuff, we have, like, eels that, like, we have Pokemon that are real. We have animals that can produce electricity.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that is nuts. Like, I think we have lost the wonder of the natural world because it's just like, oh yeah, eels, they shock people. That's crazy. Yeah. Or bioluminescence or camouflage. Like, there is insane stuff here, okay? And to shut your mind off to the possibility of newly discovered equally insane things is just the peak of arrogance to me.
Tom C, what our Native American guest called it, concrete. You guys are too concrete. You know what I mean? That when you get into the concrete jungles of this world, and you put on your suit and tie and go to work every day, you forget.
It's true.
You are sort of brainwashed that if you spend every day in the natural world, you start to see the way things really are.
It is true.
Yeah.
We have spiritually atrophied ourselves, and we have cocooned ourselves in, you know, this comfortable, you know, science is very controllable. It's very knowable. And what I control, what I know can't hurt me, or it can't shock me, or there's nothing that's without explanation. But there is, you know.
So what do you think Bigfoot is? I mean, you gotta, because I was going to say a point, just to get into the Bigfoot forums on Facebook, half of them make you basically sign an agreement that you won't talk about it being supernatural. So it's not just the Bible. I mean, it's even to this day, people are so close-minded to anything supernatural. And Bigfoot, this half the stories are supernatural stuff. And I'm sorry, but like, we're not a Bible podcast, but it's part of the world. I think it's part of the DNA. I think it's the reason we love Marvel movies is because we're in a Marvel movie.
That is also Nephilim, like the heroes of old. Like, also, that's like superhero stories. Where do you think that came from? Where do you think that came from?
Exactly. So what is Bigfoot then? Like, that's really what we ask everybody.
Well, I personally think it's an animal. I think it's a hyper intelligent animal, like anything else.
You don't believe it disappears? And
I think it could, but I think that could just be like a cuddle fit. I mean, just like crazy adaptive capability. Some animals' camouflage is ridiculous. So I personally think it's just an animal. I'm not opposed to the supernatural.
The DNA says that they know what the female side is, but they don't know what the male side is. So it sounds like a lot like the giants of old. It sounds like it's in that camp. Do you think that could be possible? Like it's half biological, half spiritual? Is there like a hybrid of Bigfoot could be the same, but it's neutral? It's not evil?
If you look at ancient mammals, ancient non-dinosaur animals of the world, there is like, you know, woolly mammoths, unicorns, which are just like Eurasian one-horn rhino. There are crazy, crazy looking mammals that existed, right? So I believe
saber-toothed tigers. Yeah, there's all kinds of crazy stuff. Yeah,
I think it was something from that era that is just left over.
So it's like saying Nessie's a plesiosaur, right? Like the idea that there's somehow
it's just a leftover.
And science doesn't want to accept that because they have this narrative that everything's billions of years old, right? And
yeah, which I don't buy either.
I don't either.
I hope that doesn't shred my credibility.
We're all educated in that system, and we don't believe it, right? We've heard that our whole lives, and I've never bought it myself.
Right. But with that...
But we're not a science, but, you know. We're not.
But with that, so here's the thing, too. What's to say, I don't know, you know, what if we're wrong about what we think about the nature of animals and what they're, you know, able to do, intelligence?
Like maybe they've forgotten as well.
Who knows? I mean, yeah. It's something like that. I mean, it's just, you know, a forgotten time, like a leftover... an out of place thing, like an animal out of time, because I mean, the world was a drastically unrecognizable place right then, back then. So who knows? Like, we don't know.
An out of place animal, because there's that scientific term oopart.
Do you need it to be supernatural?
I you just hear enough stories. I mean, your mind's ready for it. Well, here's the thing about Bigfoot that's weird. You can't ever put it in a box, because once you put it in a box, it comes out of the box. Everyone says, oh, they're mean, they're terrible. But there's all these stories of Bigfoot saving kids. Several kids will go out in the woods and they're missing for 4 or 5 days, and then they're suddenly okay, and they're brought back to their family, and then they go, Dad, Mama, big monkey men took care of me.
Like different species of ape, like bonobos are incredibly violent and warmongering, and you know. Or I might be getting that wrong, but yeah, there are, and orangutans are super peaceful, like, you know, it's, or humans, you know, same as that.
But the stories that like someone will break their leg and then a Bigfoot will carry them to the road. There was a story of a kid who was, he was a foster kid. He was living in the woods. He was on this farm as a child. He was trying to get away from his foster parent, who was just this total just jerk of a guy. He was like basically abused him and his brother and a bunch of other kids on this farm. He was running out of the farm, and he like was telling the story that he like was drowning in a lake, and this Bigfoot picked him up out of the lake and carried him to the side of the shore. It was like a swamp. You're down in Louisiana, you know what that's like.
Well, in Louisiana it's the Rougarou.
Yeah, the Rougarou's down there. But what I'm saying is there's all these stories of Bigfoot helping people. And then there's these stories of them ripping their heads off and eating them, too. So,
well, that's also, have you seen videos of animals saving children or saving their owners from fire? Or, you know, animals are able to be used by God, good, bad, evil, as instruments at different periods of time. If humans can be possessed, can animals? Are they extensions? Do they have some weird ESP collective? I mean, there's like, you know, like dolphins that'll rescue divers and surface them at just the right speed so they don't get the bends. Like, there's crazy stories like that. So, like, what's that about? You know, who's driving the ship there? So what I'm saying is, what if Bigfoot, like anything else, was being driven by some other spirit?
It reminds me of that Bible when Elisha was commanded those bears to come out and attack those kids.
That's my favorite story. Wasn't it because like they called him bald or something? Yeah. He's like, I got something for your ass. Yeah, or you know, another like biblical example, like Jonah and the whale. So like God, it would seem, directed this whale to swallow him.
It's just funny, though, because all these arguments I have with my friends about this stuff who've gone on to higher education go, dude, are you serious? The Bible This is all written in the way that the Jewish people thought and talked. It's allegory. It's myth. It's all in myth. None of this stuff actually happened.
News to them.
And it didn't actually happen, man. I mean, hours of conversations with people over and over again. I'm like, dude, then just move on with your life. If none of this stuff happened, if they're getting down to brass tacks in some of these descriptions, the height, the weight, you don't include those facts if it's just a myth. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
That's the part that drives me insane. I'm like, what do you even believe then? Like, what is this to you? Where are we at? You've explained everything away to where everything is this logical, rational thing, and it's just dead to me at that point.
I mean, it's the atrophy analogy is good. I mean, you can literally, you can live your life in a way so that, of course, you do not have to believe in anything supernatural. I mean, because I have a phone that I can press a button and a car will show up and take me to wherever I want to go. Like that's magic. You know what I'm saying? But oh no, it's just a, you know, da 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 da, whatever. It's explainable. It's like,
yeah, modern
I feel
life.
Like everyone is talking about the same thing. We just all use different words.
Well, that's what they say about aliens, right? That the old term was gods, Elohim, mm-hmm. lowercase mm-hmm. g, and now we just updated it to this new ancient aliens idea that these beings are coming from other places. So you believe Bigfoot is just a flesh and blood animal? And that's where we're trying to get to on this show. Like, what is this thing? Where'd it come from?
Are you mad that I believe that?
No, I don't.
Does that take your juice away, Nate? Is that anti-juice?
It doesn't take my juice away. I have no. I really don't know. I thought I knew I thought I knew for the longest time. I was pretty sure about it. But the weirder stories and the keep coming out, and the more you just have no idea. What about all the other cryptids, real quick? Like, you know, I think we could talk for 5 hours, but what about the Dog Man and Jersey Devil and, you know, what about all these weird the other creatures?
My favorite was the Hellhound from World War II. So that was on one
talk
of
talk about
the,
that one.
That was on one of the, Normandy? One of the fronts. So the story goes that, or no, World War I, because it was during trench warfare.
It was trench warfare, yeah.
Yeah, so they would, like, as soon as night fell, they would hear this hellhound that had this very distinctive, it was pretty descriptive of, like, a werewolf, but it would basically enter the trenches and eat the dead and the dying, and, like, both sides were terrified of it.
I've heard these things attacked a couple French villages back in, like, 1400s, 1500s. They had these huge mobs that would go out and try to kill these hellhounds. It's pretty well documented that these things attacked a lot of times in these small communities back in the day. Do you think we just killed off a lot of this stuff?
It's possible.
Like the woolly mammoth, they're just gone.
Yeah, well, and that's recently gone. And like what's crazy is that there's in Siberia, there's like a certain type of permafrost or something, but they're pulling out woolly mammoth bodies with like fur still attached, like they're preserved in such a way, and they're selling them for ivory. So it's like, oh yeah, sure, but that's millions of years old. Like, okay. I mean, they found T-Rex bones with flesh still.
That doesn't support your narrative though. Billions of years old, that
with
doesn't...
soft tissue.
Jurassic Park, man.
Right.
Dude, Hammond's about to just about to have it come back around. Costa Rica, look out.
Yeah. I think the biggest mystery to me, and where I think the most crazy things probably are the ocean, like, or whatever the ocean buried. It's hard to even visualize how vast of an area of the earth we have no idea what is in there. And we can only go so deep, but there are creatures that live there, and the creatures that live around like the geothermal vents, they have found like hollow pockets under Antarctica, and everything that is underwater or frozen at one point was not. And it's like, okay, so what's under there? We have no idea.
Yeah. This episode's great, man. I love digging through all this stuff because, you know, you have this modern explanation that like, oh yeah, geothermal, but the old explanation is the flames of the abyss, And
yeah.
Which one do you choose? Which pill do you take? You know?
I love this stuff too, because why would I not want to spend my imagination, mental energy talking about this instead of just like arguing Democrat versus Republican? Like, no thanks. Like, pass. This actually, you know, at least is enriching, and you know, it's human history. Like,
well, I think it also like speaks to the places that, and to the biggest questions we have as humans, right? It's a way, yeah, that we wrap our minds around this, as opposed to taking a group of data and then spending it to say what you want to say, and then have everybody else repeat it back to you. I mean, that's basically what we have now is social media, is people just want their own echo chamber and taking a look at a set of data and rearranging it until it says what they want to say. That's what we live in. So I like the idea that we push the boundaries. Life seems very boring if you're able to explain everything, right? And we're right. Not. I mean, I think that's what, you know, one of my favorite guys on the planet is a guy named Bob Goff. And he always talks about people just lost their sense of whimsy, like the sense of wonder in the little things. I think that's kind of what you were speaking to, is that we've talked about before on the show, Nate, that we know more about the surface of the moon than we do about the bottom of the ocean.
Right.
And because there's so much we don't know, even about our own planet and space here, there's a lot of room for, I think, for these things and these truths to be real, to be truths, right? Like, to that this stuff isn't just a narrative that was spun over thousands of years, that, you know, it was a good story that everybody liked this story, so we kept it going. It'd be like Point Break if they didn't remake it, right? You just keep the original. It's a great, right. but it's there's a lot foundationally. I think you said this, there has to be, you know, a point of reference or a point of origin for this stuff that is true. And you talked about the little G gods, right? And it's really interesting that all these different civilizations had their own version of that. And, you know, the royalty thing with the Egyptians, where they had this bloodline, but also they had the ceremony of the raising of Osiris for every one of the pharaohs, where they would actually try to raise the spirit of their top god, little G god Osiris, to inhabit and live inside the pharaoh, right? And there's where does that come from? And how does that... To think that these things are just like elaborate, you know, ruses that people wanted to believe in or just needed something to believe in is really
dismissive.
Yeah, it's a very petty way to explain anything too.
I would say the mathematics, if you were looking at this as a math equation, like we just had an episode where the guy dug up over 700 newspaper articles about giant bones. The probability of these all being fake stories versus actually being real accounts, the math is not in your favor that they're all fake. It's just not. It's not.
Right.
And I think all the history that it was all allegory and all myth is a huge, I would not, in Vegas, I would not take that bet. I would not. I would put the money on red, and I'd say it happened. You see what I'm saying? And that's what we're asking people. You're in Vegas right now. You're playing. You're sitting at the roulette table. And you can play red or black right now and say, do you think history is allegory or myth? Or do you think that all this stuff comes from some deeper truth of something that existed, something that was here, stories that actually played out in a more true sense than a, you know what I'm saying? That's kind of where I think this show's at right now.
Yeah.
And take the red pill, right?
And it's respecting... I think we need to respect the wisdom of our indigenous ancestors, right? You know, like a modern example was in Japan, there was this marker that was hundreds of years old, and it was translated saying, do not build past this point. And
yes,
they did
yes.
it anyway, and it got wiped out by a typhoon up to that marker. And it was literally like, we told you, because we've been through this before, it's prone to typhoon hits, right? And it's like,
I've seen those markers.
Yeah, like realizing maybe our ancestors knew what they were talking about. Maybe they're not stupid. Maybe we're not the smartest people ever. Like, I personally think humans have been getting dumber. Like, I think we started at an apex and we've just been getting dumber. But we think we're so flippin' smart. I just don't think so. I don't think we know nearly, you know, with all my modern technology, if you drop me in the middle of the Congo right now, I'm dead in 72 hours. Like, fact, you know. There are different levels of intelligence.
And everyone can see that because we're all addicted to those, like, outdoor survivalist YouTube channels.
Yeah,
where those,
and everyone's sitting there, I could do that.
Where they build like a hut in the woods with like adobe bricks and sticks in like 48 hours. And you're like, oh my gosh, they just built like a house that would cost me $100,000 here in Tennessee. Like,
primitive, for free. What's that good channel? Primitive something.
Primitive
Builder.
Yeah. My kids were watching it the other day.
That's awesome.
And my kid couldn't get enough of it. He's like, Dad, look, they built a water slide into a pool. And I'm like, yeah, I'm about to put a pool in our backyard. I don't even know how much it's going to cost. You know what I mean? I'm like, I could just build this primitive one with these guys for free. But it seriously makes you go. There used to be knowledge that was, I mean, people used to live in communities and they taught each other everything. And now we're so, there's like this fragmentized society where we're all individuals. No one's connected. Grandma's in the retirement home. She's not teaching us anything. And it's a real sad existence that we've kind of come to be as humans. And I think you're right that the knowledge of the ancients, they probably had a better understanding of the cosmos than we do. They did. Yeah. I think they did.
Oh yeah, well astrological accuracy of pyramids of
hinges.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
All the hinges are supposed to be built to the sun's rising and setting different seasons.
Just by the fact that, like, you know, all of our calendars, years, days, almanacs, like, we didn't make it, you know, we inherited it, like. But anyway, I digress.
So of all the weird cryptids, what's your favorite cryptid and why? And we got to get some more cryptids on this show. So give us something we can talk about in future episodes.
Was it Umkele Mbembe? I think I'm pronouncing that right. One who moves rivers. That's the Aptosaurus. They believe in the Congo.
How big is this thing?
I think... maybe like twice the size of an elephant, something like that.
Mm. Like a dinosaur, maybe, right?
Yeah, it's a long, you can think like a long-necked, long-tailed dinosaur, like Jurassic Park style. And supposedly it's called that because there have been, the local legend is that they live in the rivers. They'll kind of bury themselves under the river and they'll dam up a river and then they'll just move and flood out like whole areas.
like a giant hippo, basically.
Yeah,
goes down underwater. And I had a buddy who did. He worked on that Invisible Children documentary over in Africa, and he was telling me, man, there's places in Africa. And we had a long talk one night. And he was just telling me, making this. This is before it came out, and he was like, I just went to Africa, made this documentary, and then years later, went on to be one of the most viral videos of all time. Was the Invisible Children documentary, Kony 20? Was it 2014? 2012? Was it? Remember that? Yeah. Joseph? Yeah, it came out. It was like the biggest viral video ever. Anyway, he was telling me there's parts in, they literally would pick stacks of cash, put it in their pockets, and they had to pay cash to get from one checkpoint to the next checkpoint to the next checkpoint. You're like 10 checkpoints into Africa and you're running out of cash. You can't get through the next area. That's how remote some of these places. And the Congo River is as big as California. And so what could be living out there and how remote it is to get to it? People don't have any, you know, us concrete folks have no idea how remote this stuff is. And he was putting it into terms. I was like, dang, you didn't think you were just, he's like, I could have just been dead. I could have just got shot and thrown in the bushes. And that was the end of me. You know, no one would have ever known.
People think too, with all of our modern technology, that we can just go anywhere and explore anywhere. We can't.
Yeah.
There are some areas that are straight up inaccessible.
Well, yeah, and then just governed by just
right. Because that's
guns.
The problem with ancient Egypt is they have the Department of Egyptology has their narrative and they are sticking with it, and that's it. Like all the newly discovered caverns underneath the Sphinx that they want to excavate, they're like, no, we're good. Either that or they've done it themselves and they're, you know, whatever. But they're not letting anybody into that honeypot.
I love it. You know, speaking of 80s, We've been going for a little over an hour and a half. We try to keep our shows at an hour, but this reminds me of the Ghostbusters clip that came out about the new Ghostbusters movie where the kids go and they find the old Ghostbusters ambulance in the barn, and they like, oh, what's this? This is like this relic of our grandfathers with the Ghostbusters. that's kind of what history is a little bit, right? We've forgotten our past. And we kind of rediscovering it here and there, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So Luke,
we
still don't know what Bigfoot is, but we're getting closer.
You know, it's or farther, depending on how you look at it.
we're getting off track. I mean, I hope we haven't lost a lot of people with all this spiritual talk. I feel like it's not. I hope it's not off putting because I know people like in the comments section, they always get like you know.
Yeah, I just to people that have that hang up, I just encourage you to view it as a mythological, historical, as a reference point. I can read Harry Potter and I don't have to believe in wizards and still appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? Like, so if you know.
I would say that too, Jeb, on that line. Like, there's been so much archaeologically you can point back to the Bible and confirming archaeologically important manuscript of all time. And so for us to reference back to that, even if you don't, if you're not a person of faith, understand that this is our best source and window into the past and into ancient man as well. So that's where I would say. And Nate, you know what? I don't think it even matters if you say that now, because at this point they probably already turned off the podcast. So
yeah,
your disclaimer to the end is
yeah,
it's just part of
probably
it.
Doesn't
man.
Count, man.
It's part of it. If you get into Bigfoot long enough, you got to go back, and if you got to go back, you got to get into the giants, and if you know it's all connected. And I think that. And if you don't believe, two bears could come out of the woods and maul you. So, you know, gotta be careful, guys.
Absolutely.
Oh, man, for a future time. Well, Jed, dude, you want to plug, like, some of your stuff and tell our listeners where you're at?
Yeah, my show is not all about that. That just happens to be what I talk about. But, it's Church and Other Drugs. I pretty much alternate between people's stories of addiction, recovery, whatever, just any kind of cool life stories people have. And then I'll mix that in with some theology stuff, and basically trying to get to, I have no interest in you know, being churchy, or you know, I'm just trying to get down to some truth and reality. And I talk a lot about mental health. I struggle with depression, and I'm all about just having open conversations. So
yeah
check it out, Church and Other Drugs.
And you've had me on your show many times, and I want to say thanks. Yes. And it's cool to return the favor to you.
I appreciate it, dude.
This was a great conversation. You enlightened us all. There's a lot of history there. I mean, you could do a whole podcast on just the Nephilim and the ancient history.
Yeah, there's a ton.
I came on your show talking about this show. That's what's cool.
When you were thinking about doing it.
And here we are, Nate.
Yeah, here we are.
You made it.
There were several times I'm like, man, I got to do this show. And it was just juice to keep going and start Blurry Creatures. And I'm glad that, because you were there, man. And that's the thing, is when you start to find some of this information, there's not very many people you can talk to. And you were a guy that I could come talk to about it. And you were open-minded to it. You were willing to hear my questions. You were willing to hear my own discoveries. And you provided a place for that on your podcast. And I appreciate that, because we all need that. And
yeah, for sure.
So go check out his podcast, guys. And thanks for listening to Blurry Creatures. We're rolling new episodes. Hopefully this was, got your mind spinning a little bit to think about the ancient world and maybe some stuff where Bigfoot came from. We don't know. But
and Nate, when you go on camping next week, look out for those hellhounds down there in 30A.
I don't think they roam the beach. Do they roam the beach?
I don't know if they're allowed in 30A in that area, seaside.
Worry about Selkies.
Yes, the skunk apes down there.
Oh. No, the mer women.
Merman.
Selkies.
Yeah, they're like the sirens, right? They're just calling these sailors to their deaths. Yeah.
Yep.
That's what I love about this. Even when we're trying to wrap up the show, someone drops mermaids, and then it's like, do we keep talking for an hour? Or
I know. You can keep going.
Dude, I love it. Well, yeah. Thanks again, man. And we'll talk soon.
I'm going to check out the podcast, man. I really think that's cool. That's a great space, man.
Yeah, please do.